Welcome to Comic Culture on CFMU 93.3 FM, now also on podcast on comicbookdaily.com. I am Walter Duralia, owner of Bigby Comics in Hamilton, and am joined, as always, by my co-host, Chris Owen, professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
Hey, Walt, how you doing?
Not bad, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing okay, thanks.
Chris, I'm working hard to pare that intro down to about half the length.
Good luck with all that.
Okay.
Good luck. It's
Show's almost over now.
Yeah, look at that. And the half hour's done. Yeah, that's good. It's good work.
All right. Chris, welcome to the show as always. Wednesday always brings us together. Wednesday is New Comic Day.
You know what? It's Wednesdays. I've always felt that Wednesdays is like just a little Christmas. Because, you know, you go to the comic book store, there's always something new every Wednesday.
I've never heard you say that, Chris.
Oh, well, you know, to me it's like little Christmas.
Okay.
You know, just because we're not having Christmas dinner together every Wednesday doesn't mean that I don't think about it like
Fair
that.
Fair enough. Right? You know, you are right. There's goodies galore every
goodies.
Wednesday. Goodies galore.
Goodies.
The first part of our show, we always try to highlight new releases today.
Right.
Things coming out from the big publishers.
Yes.
And today I want to start with Dominic Fortune number 2, Marvel's putting out today.
I think I vaguely remember something about Dominic Fortune. Wasn't he a guy who had a magic hat or something like that?
Yeah, you know what? There was I think it was in the late 70s. Dominic Fortune was, I think there was a title called Marvel Premiere.
Right,
and
right.
It was way late in their run when they were about to be canceled.
Yeah.
And Dominic Fortune, I think he wore a red dinner jacket.
I think you're right.
I think that might be Mr. Miracle.
Mr. Miracle is part of the DC line.
Good Lord, okay.
Yeah. But Dominic Fortune, let's not forget that Marvel Premiere also had such hits like Man-Wolf.
Man-Wolf.
That was, you know what, Man-Wolf was J. Jonah Jameson's son.
Yes.
Who transformed into a wolf like during like the full moon or something like that.
Yeah.
And then he went to go live on the moon so he could always be a wolf.
You know. And they wonder why Marvel Premiere got canceled.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And I wonder why I can't get dates for knowing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I wonder why Marvel's going back to Dominic Fortune is my point. I never wonder why you can't get dates, Chris, for that one.
Nice, nice. Yeah. All right.
But, I mean, it seems to be a trend where... Where Marvel is going to these lame-ass characters that they produced 20, 30 years
ago.
It's
true,
Maybe they're trying to impress the brass at Disney.
Well, yeah, you know, they're saying that, hey, not even the lowest of our low characters are
hey, guys, we promised you 5,000 characters.
That's right.
Take a look.
Even number 499 is worthy.
Hey, 497, speaking of characters... 5,000, by the way. That would be 4999.
Right. Sorry. Okay.
Have another drink.
Look, I had one at lunch today. I'm still good.
Okay. MODOK. Rain Delay number 1. Comes out today. Rain as in dark rain.
Oh, right. Not like R-A-I-N.
No.
R-E-I-G-N.
Yes. Right. Now, you know... The MODOK stock has fallen, Chris.
Oh, come on. What are you talking about?
Well, check the storyline here. Down on his luck, MODOK moves back into his parents' house in Erie, PA.
See, I don't really understand that, because I thought MODOK was like some like artificial intelligent type thing.
No, he's just a guy with a big brain. Small feet.
Oh, right.
Hey, so in Erie, he discovers that his family, old classmates, and apathetic locals can thwart his plans for world conquest. Have another drink, Walt.
Yeah, there we go.
Conquest. Better than any superhero.
Conquest?
So basically, MODOK can't fool Superman, nor can he fool Johnny down in the street corner.
Right. Okay, first of all, MODOK is part of the Marvel Universe, and Superman's part of the DC Universe. I realize that's a little bit nerdy of me to say these things. However, I had to point that out.
Just testing you, Chris.
Yeah, okay. Sure you were. Sure you were. Okay, hold on. Did you know that there's actually a female version of MODOK?
What's her name?
Modam.
Modam?
Yes, yes.
She ever had a run-in with Supergirl?
How do you say, I've been drinking?
Right. Okay, anyway, MODOK number one, MODOK rain delay number one
right.
hits the stands today. Sure. Get in there quick to your local comic shop because it may sell out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Wait, one more thing about MODOK. Yeah. Do you know there's actually a MODOK website?
I did not know that.
there is. It comes out every March. It's called March MODOK Madness.
Right. And what do you got planned for next spring, Chris?
Hey-o! Okay, next up on the hit parade.
All right, switching over to DC, which I seem to be leaning toward anyway. Yeah. Blackest Night number 3 of 8 hits the stands today. Now, Chris, this is a runaway success.
It is.
DC. It is. Big Green Lantern storyline written by Geoff Johns.
Now, I have to ask you, Walt, have you actually read any of the Blackest Night comics?
Not yet.
I'm just asking.
I like graphic novels.
Well, okay, fair enough. So you're waiting for them all to be collected in one, so you don't have to wait from week, month to month.
That's a good answer right now.
Yeah,
I think.
See, exactly. Yeah. Okay. I think it's a great idea. I'm not a huge fan of it myself. I think that Marvel did it first when they did the whole Marvel Zombies, because really that's what it kind of is. It's like all the undead versions of these popular characters. It's a little bit different, but it's kind of the same thing. But I've read a couple of the issues. I didn't think it was that bad. I didn't think it was that great. But, you know, one of the problems that I have with a lot of these kind of storylines is that you have to buy a billion different comics to find out what's going
there
on.
There are a lot of crossovers in this.
I have issues with that. But anyways, go on.
Well, it is a big seller. It actually outsold, I think the last issue outsold Captain America Reborn, which was the number one seller when the number one came out.
Right.
I think at number two, The Blackest Night. You know what, though? I mean, at the shop up there, the DC fans are diehard fans.
Right, they are.
The Marvel guys more so. I'm generalizing here, but the Marvel guys, you know, a big new splashy thing comes out and they'll try it, they'll jump on it. The DC guys, I mean, this was a steady build-up.
Yep, it was.
Way back in the Green Lantern title.
Yep, for sure.
So, anyway, we'll stop there on today's releases, but as always, it's just a sampling of the stuff coming out today. Head into your local comic shop. Support your local comic shop. Check out the news this week's stand.
That's right.
And there's a lot of good stuff out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Chris, we're going to dive into industry news, which is always our second feature of the show.
Yes, yes.
Okay, this is where I take a tour of the internet and try to find out some interesting things happening in the world of comics.
Don't tell our listening audience all your secrets.
Oh, okay. I mean, this is where guys call me up with news.
Exactly.
Okay. Good news. This I read on the Comic Book Daily website. Cameron Stewart is the new artist on Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin. The All-Star one.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
The one that Morrison's writing.
Yeah. That's fantastic. You know, Grant Morrison, of course, you just said he's the one writing it, and as we know, Cameron Stewart has some background with Grant Morrison already, writing Sea Guy and
Seven Soldiers. Yes.
So clearly the two pair up fairly well, which is great.
Very well, too. Sorry. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they have worked together. There is some magic there between the two, and hopefully it conveys in Batman. Around.
But I will say that, you know, he's got some pretty big footsteps to fill, because we've had Jim Lee was one of the artists on Batman and Robin, and we've had Frank Quitely and Billy Tan, did you say earlier, I think?
Philip Tan. Now, hold on, Chris, back up. Beep, beep,
beep, beep. Okay.
All-Star Batman and Robin was the Lee and Morrison.
It was Lee and Miller,
sorry. Yeah. This is Batman and Robin, new series.
Right, sorry, right.
With quietly starting off with Morrison.
Okay,
I'm a fan of Stewart, too, believe it or not. I mean, there's a few artists I like, and he's one of them. And
You actually know who he is?
Yeah, I do. Can you believe it?
That's great.
He's anyway, good news for Batman and Robin fans, I feel.
Absolutely, yes.
Moving on to some film news. Edgar Wright, who was the director of
Hot Fuzz.
Yes.
And Shaun of the Dead.
Yes, and currently directing, and I think just finished directing, Scott Pilgrim.
Yes.
The only press runaway hit.
Being filmed in Toronto.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was rumored for a while that he was slated to do an Ant-Man movie.
Right, right.
So the big Marvel news hit with Disney, and there was some speculation then that Ant-Man would go over to Pixar.
Right, well, it's kind of like a... when you think of Ant-Man, you think of, like, you know, fun, being miniaturized, being small, and all the kind of weird like adventures.
Bug Life.
Yeah, Bug's all Life, that kind of stuff.
That was called Toy Story.
All that kind of stuff, yeah. Sure.
But he's saying on the blog on the internet that no... that's a premature speculation
right.
on that,
right.
and that he plans Ant-Man to be a good, like, excuse me, a live-action film.
Right.
And in his blog, he also says that he's very happy. Not happy, I mean, he relishes in the fact that Ant-Man is a C-list character in the Marvel universe, where he can really start exploring some stuff about
the baggage. You have a lot more license when you're dealing with characters that nobody really cares about.
Right.
I mean, not that people... I'm sure there must be at least a dozen people that care about Ant-Man out there, but, you know, if
you're right, though. I mean, if there's a Spider-Man movie, you know, the...
There's not much you can...
Yeah, you want your Aunt May there, you want Phoenix, you want all that.
Spider-Man's kind of got to look like Spider-Man, you know, but if you got Ant-Man, well, you know, nobody knows what Ant-Man looks like, whether he's got a helmet on, except a couple, you know, comic book nerds like us. Right,
right, right. So, I mean, I'm looking for it. I would really like to see the Ant-Man kind of live action.
It'd be great.
And I really want, like, a fresh flavor to the superhero genre in terms of live action movies.
Yes.
So I really want this thing to go through.
Yeah, it'd be great. It'd be great, especially if there's a little bit, I mean, Edgar Wright is known for a little bit of a dark comedy to him.
Mm-hmm.
So if he had that kind of flavor in the Ant-Man movie, it would be great, because really we've got like the dark movies like the Batman: The Dark Knight. We've got the fantastic movies like, you know, Spider-Man and the adventure kind of movies.
Iron Man,
right? So if we had, you know, another third kind of genre, where it was a little bit of fun, a little bit of action, a little bit of comedy, it'd be great.
Well, I'll end on his quote where he says, "At some point this century, I intend to stop talking about it and actually make the damn."
Oh, well, let's hope so.
Hurry up.
Yes.
All right, Chris. Now, you remember Paul Levitz ran the DC Universe, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
He is now no longer the publisher and president of DC Comics.
Oh, get out. I didn't know that.
Yes. Warner Brothers has created a new DC Entertainment Inc. division.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Okay.
I guess, the press release says, a new company founded to fully realize the power and value of the DC Comics brand and characters across all media and platforms.
Right.
It's actually to be run by a woman, an insider, a Warner Brothers insider named Diane Nelson.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, now Paul Levitz will basically segue from that role and return to be a writer and a contributing editor, and I guess a consultant for DC Universe.
Right.
So, to me, that's a demotion.
But he's still going to be around, right? So yes. Obviously, they're not just saying, "Hey, see you later." They care enough about him and they know that he's a contributing member of the DC staff. So it's good that he's still sticking around. But you know, it's okay that these people have turnover once in a while, because a lot of times these big companies, they need fresh blood to kind of take them in a new direction.
Let me ask you this. Wasn't it on his watch? He's been doing this for a while. Like,
yeah.
Like, Marvel has, you know, pulled away in the last, say, 6 or 7 years in terms of market share and dollar share.
Right.
Are they blaming Levitz for this, with this move?
Well, you know what? I don't think they can blame Levitz, but you know, as far as a manager of a company goes, there's only so many things that a person can do before they run out of ideas and before they run out of steam. And I think he's probably hit his max. And sometimes you need to have a manager come in with fresh ideas.
Right, Chris. We're 13 minutes into the show, and I've run out of ideas already.
Well, you know,
I can imagine.
Yeah,
him.
Absolutely. He did it for what, 20 years or 30 years or something. So.
All right. Well, listen. DC does have some stuff in the works as we speak.
Right.
Human Target. Remember that?
Now, Human Target was an interesting book, because it was the premise was, you know, if you had like a hit on placed on you, or if you're a celebrity that you thought that, you know, could possibly have a hit placed on you or something,
right.
He would take the form of that person. Like, he would put on makeup and he would camo, like he would do himself up to be that other person, and so he would become a new Human Target, you know, as if, you know, he was going to be the next Target kind of thing.
Right.
So it was a really cool premise, and then, of course, he'd take off his mask and you'd find out it was actually somebody else.
Right. Well, cool enough to debut on the Fox TV network.
Well, you know, that would be a very interesting TV show because it's one of those things where they could have a brand new show every time.
Right.
They could have a new celebrity.
Would it be like, what was that one where the guy goes back in time all the time?
Back to the Future? Oh, no, that's a movie. Back in time. Oh, Quantum Leap.
Quantum Leap.
Yeah. Every kind of like that, where he has to solve a new puzzle sort of every week. Right. And
Jonah Hex. I'm a fan of the old Jonah Hex.
Me too. Absolutely.
Josh Brolin, Megan Fox, John Malkovich.
Yeah. Great cast.
I believe they're done the production already. And so that's coming out.
That's cool.
Obviously, the Green Lantern movie, which is coming up
with
soon.
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's released, if not next year, the year after. And they're also working on a Lobo movie. Directed or produced by, what's Madonna's husband's name?
Oh, Guy Ritchie.
Right.
I can't believe they're going to do a Lobo movie. That's crazy. I mean, I think it's great, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to be some dirty, disgusting, foul, nasty type movie, right?
Well, maybe they got Guy Ritchie to do it.
When are they going to do a Power Girl movie? That's what I want to know.
You know, it's coming. I think there was a Power Girl movie on the Adult Network.
Really?
I'll lend you my CD.
Would you mind? I'd appreciate that.
Called? It's not CD anymore.
Yeah, no, DVD.
DVD.
If it was a CD, I'd just be listening to it.
Right. I'll figure it all out soon enough.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, moving on to some toy news in the industry.
Oh, okay, sure.
HeroClix.
Yes.
Remember those little kind of figures?
Yeah, it was like a little game kind of thing. Yeah.
They had little Marvel characters and DC characters and horror characters.
And
NECA, the game company, the toy company.
Yes.
They've bought HeroClix from WizKids. They bought WizKids, I guess.
Oh, okay, right.
So, HeroClix is resurrected.
Cool.
Yes.
Cool.
Save the day. Now, up at the shop, up at Big B, HeroClix sold well.
Well, you know,
it was going strong,
it had an appeal to it because it was kind of a cool game. I actually did play for a month or two.
Right, of course, only a month.
Well, yeah, it had a neat appeal to it because you got a chance to kind of play with these little characters that you really liked, like Spider-Man or Batman or whatever. And it was also collectible because you wanted to try to when you open up a pack of these HeroClix, you didn't know what you were going to get.
Yes.
So it was kind of fun. Like, oh, what'd you get this time kind of thing. And there was, like, rare ones and not-so-rare ones. And so it was kind of fun to buy them. And at the same time, it was a cool game. But, with this game, I think we talked about this earlier, you always wanted to see what was going to happen next.
Yes.
And they announced the fact that this company had gone under and bust.
And then killed sales.
Who cares, right?
It killed
sales. Well, why would I play anymore, right?
Yeah, because you're looking for the next expansion.
Yeah.
You're looking for the next thing. You're looking for some sort of continuity.
Sure,
I guess,
sure. And it doesn't have enough of an appeal like an old board game that you can keep on revisiting it, right?
Right.
Like Monopoly or something like that.
Yes.
So.
Then our next topic, we're going to talk about, I guess this will segue into our major topic, our theme for today, is there's a company in New York, a law firm called Levy and Krasinski.
Okay.
And they filed a class action suit against Marvel Entertainment, challenging the acquisition from Walt Disney. They're saying that Disney isn't paying enough for... the company, and they're cheating the shareholders.
Oh, the shareholders. Oh, okay. So they're basically, the shareholders are kind of saying, hey, you know what, these stocks that we have in Marvel are worth more than what we got.
Right. Now, I believe it sold the deal values Marvel at 37 times, this is just a tidbit off the net, 37 times 2009 earnings, and actually... the stock is getting a 29% premium over pre-deal stock prices.
That sounds pretty good to me. Yeah.
If I'm holding Marvel stock and it went up 30% in a day,
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess this guy wants it to go up 100%
or whatever. Yeah.
In a day. But I don't know if they have anything there. It sounds like Disney paid a pretty price for Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So that's going to take us, Chris, into our main topic of the day, which is the Marvel DC. Sorry, right. Marvel DC. Did they merge?
No. Disney Marvel, and Marvel. Disney, right. Marvel. Yeah, it was Disney bought out Marvel.
That's right.
And one of the things that you and I were talking about earlier before the show is the fact that we, you know, of course, if you're any kind of a Marvel fan, you know that Stan Lee was the co-creator of a lot of the great Marvel characters, and he's been around. He's been the Marvel spokesperson for many, many years, and he is all for this merger. He is guns a-blazing.
Yes, he's now, you remember Stan, okay?
This is Stan Lee.
Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Now, Stan's sitting in his office in 62 or 61.
Yeah.
Just hates life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Saying, hey, I got to get out of this dump.
Yeah, well, he hated working for Marvel.
Yeah, and they go, no, don't leave. We got nobody else stupid enough to do what you're doing.
Pretty much, yeah.
You can do what you want.
Yeah.
And Stan spitefully goes, you know what? I'm just going to write comics just the way I want to.
I'm going to make the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I'm going to do them like with problems and with issues.
That's
and
right.
With teen angst. That's and right. With, you know, money problems.
That's right.
And, you know, real life like I'm having right now. And lo and behold, he was onto something.
Well, yeah, he really tuned into something that people wanted to read about, right?
Right, like it's, right.
You know, well, at the time, you know, when it was, and this is pretty close to when it was still like timely, right? You know,
yes,
it was,
yes.
Atlas, yeah. And you know, he was like one of like four employees at the time, like, and he was doing a lot of the writing, and he just wanted to get out.
Because my favorite was he was writing a lot of the teen romance.
Oh movies, yeah,
you know, girl, you know, that's, I mean, nobody can write to a 14-year-old teen girl like a
like a 30-year-old
mid-age Jewish man. You know? Yes. Oh well.
Right. Well, listen, you know, he keyed into something that people wanted.
Now, okay, you know, obviously he has financial interest in this with his POW company.
Right.
But I honestly think, too, that he still feels that Marvel is his child.
And
the fact that a conglomerate like Disney wants it is his justification for his life's work.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah.
So I can see Stan liking the deal.
Oh, of course. And, you know, Stan is in all the Marvel movies, whether he likes it or not. You know, he always makes an appearance.
Yep.
He has been the spokesperson for Marvel for many years, and when you think of Marvel, you think of Stan Lee, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Or maybe it's vice versa, but anyways. Yeah.
Now, I mean, you know, this deal is already having, you know, repercussions. I think the whole DC restructuring may have been triggered. I'm sure
absolutely,
it was in the works before, but I'm sure it was rushed through by...
Well, this is a look that now really Disney is going to be able to look at the Marvel lineup of characters and say, okay, you know what? We've got these 5,000 characters. We can make movies and television and licensing and all
hey,
that.
Hey, we got
stuff.
Squirrel Girl now.
We've got the Great Lakes Avengers.
Yes.
Like, yes.
Man.
You know, so it's now DC can go in there and say, hey, we've got the losers.
No, they got, what was that that super group from the Germany, the Weisswurst and the guys that link up as sausages.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. that's living right there.
Yeah, and
well
yeah.
Listen, I guess what I hope for, I mean, there's precedent here, you know, I'm hopeful because I've always thought Marvel was kind of like a flaky company, believe it
absolutely,
or not.
Absolutely, yeah.
They were very unstable. They had massive highs, they had very trophy lows,
yeah.
And they were always kind of scheming on how to, you know, make a buck today.
Yeah, they never really had much foresight into what they should do with their characters.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm hoping that Disney will add some level of
some solidarity,
and stability to the Marvel thing and say, hey guys, slow it down. Don't think about, you know, 5 o'clock this afternoon. Think about the future. Think about long term. Let's see what we got here. Let's slow it down.
For sure.
And I really hope that. I mean, you know, a good example is where I hope this goes is, you know, DC's doing a great job with all the old Warner Brothers archive characters and the Looney Tunes and stuff. They are getting those characters to the kids at reasonable prices through their DC Johnny imprint.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I mean, $2.25, I think, is the price.
Right. And you mentioned earlier that, you know, Gladstone, which was the previous imprint for all the Disney comics, now they were selling them at like $8.99 or something.
Oh, it was
like
terrible.
That.
Yeah, Gladstone treated like all the Disney properties like
as if it was
some
gold.
Sort of high-end gold. Yeah. And guess what? I mean, I hope Marvel has like a Marvel Billy.
Well,
and
DC Johnny and Marvel Billy.
Ever been to see Billy?
That's horrible. Okay. That is,
well, you know what I'm saying.
The rawhide kid of the DC. Yeah, right. Anyways, yeah.
But my point is, I mean, I'm hoping that they can get the duck stuff and the mouse stuff and the well, you know, the I was going to say Lois Lane, but I think I should say Snow White.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, get them in a pulp and paper type absolutely. Of $2 comic.
Because you know what?
Kids.
3-year-olds and 4-year-olds, they don't care what kind of paper this stuff is.
And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't even matter to 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds. Who drives Disney sales is the parents. And
right.
Especially grandparents. You know, we all try to force our likes on our
absolutely,
children.
Absolutely.
And you know what? So half the time, the kid couldn't give a crap, really, about, you know, Snow White. They want SpongeBob.
Absolutely.
Or something like that. But we can't see it as parents.
So how big is your kid's Asterix collection, anyways?
Mine is big. Theirs is non-existent.
Okay, all right.
But no, there's good synergies here, I think. You know, the problem, though, with the movies, like, obviously everybody thinks movies right away.
Right, right.
The problem is Marvel's got all their movies tied up. Like,
well,
the licenses
for,
are tied
for
up.
A lot, and this is where I'm hoping that they actually do something really cool, because they've got all the main characters tied up.
Yeah,
but
like,
you know,
Sony has Spidey,
Spider-Man,
and Fox has X-Men,
and
Fantastic Four.
You know, I'm hoping that they kind of dig a little deeper into some of the cooler characters that they haven't really explored too much with. And I'm not talking about Great Lakes Avengers, but, you know, I don't know, maybe like, you know, Tomb of Dracula or something cool, Werewolf by Night, or maybe some of the horror stuff, you know, I don't know, some of the kind of cooler characters that people haven't really thought too
Luke
much
Cage,
about.
Luke Cage.
Perfect example. Luke Cage. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Great character.
You know, Iron Fist or
Sergeant Fury.
Yeah, all those kind of cool characters that, you know, are, I don't want to say they're B characters, but they're kind of B-ish.
Right.
You know, a Hawkeye or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, some of those cooler characters that they could make some really great movies with.
Yeah, you're right. That's
and you know what? And I gotta say that, you know, with the power of Disney's licensing, there can be some really cool merchandise coming out there that has to do with all the Marvel characters.
Yeah, you know what? Disney does have a lot of like those retail outlets in the malls and stuff.
And I'm not saying that I want like a Scarlet Witch snow globe or something like that, but you know.
I'd love one of those.
I said globe, not globes.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Sorry. You're right, though. You know what? Even theme parks. You know, everybody thinks, oh, man, it'd be cool going down to Florida and then going to Disneyland and seeing Spider-Man. They can't even do that. They've got all the big characters licensed to Universal.
Tied up with the Universal Islands of Adventure.
But, you know, they can have, like you say, you know, Luke Cage walking around with an afro or something like that. No, he's bald now, right?
I think he's bald now, But, you know, maybe it's going to be retro Luke Cage.
Retro Luke Cage, right. '70s dance night.
Featuring
Luke Cage.
Sweet Christmas.
Right.
All right.
There's so many other things I guess you can combine the two for. I think it's funny, though, in books.
Yeah.
Did you know Disney is the world's largest publisher of kids' books.
Really?
And kids' titles.
I didn't know that.
They're massive.
Really?
Right? And they go through, like, HarperCollins.
Right, right.
And, of course, Marvel goes through Diamond.
Right, right.
So, I mean, there's a play there. What's going to happen there with books, right? But comics and graphic novels, I would say that Marvel is, you know, the dominant one of the two.
Sure.
Right? So
sure.
I think Disney can benefit from Marvel.
Well,
I think they both have strengths.
Absolutely.
It
would be cool that because Disney through HarperCollins has this massive distribution center, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be cool that now if Disney can distribute the Marvel trade paperbacks through HarperCollins and expand their market that way.
Yeah.
So, but all in all, I'd have to say that Disney and Marvel is a great thing.
You know what? It can only just lead to good things in the future.
Yeah.
I like the deal, and I think, you know, like we just said before, with DC and Warner Brothers, they're both now thinking. They're thinking big.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Absolutely. Well, once again, we've run out of time. But if you have any comments or questions about our show, please let us know. You can email us at chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca or mailbox@bigbycomics.com. Go out, support your local comic book store, and enjoy your day.
See everybody next week.